This morning, we want to talk about where are you walking. And I went ahead and made up a little outline you can take with you if you want to, study it out later. And we're going to study originally Ephesians 5, 1 through 21, if we can get all that covered. And in your little Bible, you have the page number there, page 205 is where we'll start. And Ephesians chapter 5, one of my favorite books. I love all of Paul's writing. I love all the Bible, really. It's hard to pick a favorite book, isn't it? It talks about walking in love to start with. We're going to talk about walking love, walking light, and then walking wisdom. And like I said, I gave you that to take with you if you like. First, it starts out by saying, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Be imitators of God as dear children. How do you do that? You act like he did. You respond like he did, right? Jesus walked in love, never criticized nobody, never condemned nobody, right? The ones he got on the most was religious people, ironically. He didn't look down on the sinner. He hung around with them, got in trouble for doing that. So how do we be an imitator of God as we try to do what he did? Okay, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Listen, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. One version used the word joking there, coarse joking, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Now, that don't mean to be a goody-two-shoes, does it? We got to be in the world. I heard a preacher the other day in our church say this, and I really liked it. He said, we got to be insulated from the world, but not isolated from the world. We got to be insulated from the world, not isolated. Now, what does that mean? That means we need to put on the full armor of God every day, walk in that, walk in the Word, and get out in the world and tell them about Jesus. Because otherwise, how are they going to know? How are they going to know? Be strong, be bold. Look at page 116, John chapter 15. Got the page number there, maybe you'll be ahead of me that way. John chapter 15, in verse 9, Jesus said, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He said, what you seen me do, you go do it. You go do it. These things I have spoken to you, he said, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. He said that my joy remain in you, God's joy. We can have joy all the time. There's people that smile all the time, and that makes me feel good. When you came in smiling, that makes my day. I see enough sour people all the time, you know. You know, maybe we need to be the one to turn that around. Smile, it makes the world wonder what you've been doing. They think you're guilty or something. Well, I am. I am guilty of being happy.
Amen.
I'm guilty of being happy. Two of my grandchildren have 8 wonderful grandchildren, and 2 of them call me happy. Just come up with the word happy, and I said, well, I've been called a lot worse. So that'll work. And I want to live what they call me. I want to be an example of happiness to them and joy. Their parents are Christians, and of course, take them to church and everything. They're probably in church right now. But, you know, we need to live God's joy before others. And he says, if we do that, then not only will his joy remain in us, but our joy will be full. All right? Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. How did he love us? Unconditionally, right? Unconditionally. I don't know about you, but as human beings, we tend to pick out who we're going to love, who we're going to like, not like, based on what they look like. And you don't even know, and I don't know, I'm guilty too. We don't even know who that person is, and they haven't even got to us yet. Hadn't said nothing yet, hadn't done nothing yet. We've already decided I ain't going to like him or her. Maybe based on their appearance. And God loves everybody all the time. That's amazing. His love is unconditional. All right, turn to Matthew 5. He makes it a little stiffer than that. Matthew chapter 5, excuse me, verse 43. The heading in my Bible, I don't know about that one, at Matthew 5:43 says, love your enemies. Oh boy, that makes it a little harder. It's easy to love. Well, let's read it here. Jesus talking here in Matthew 5:43 said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Wow. Is that tough? That's tough for me. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Then we got a promise that if we do that, it says, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. In other words, he's the judge, not us.
Right.
Amen? He's the judge, not us. So we don't need to decide who's going to get in and who's not. We have a tendency to do that. Now, I belong to a church, and I hope you do back home. I belong to a church where anybody can walk in dressed any kind of way and be welcome. This is a fairly large church. And I'm happy to say that. You walk in with your shorts, ain't nobody going to pay you no attention. Except maybe hug your neck, welcome you to the service, you know. It don't matter if you come in with rags on, you're welcome. In fact, if it weren't that way, I wouldn't have joined it. Because we all know there's plenty of them that's the other way around.
Yep.
And I spent 20 years on the road and visited a lot of churches on Sunday trying to find a place to fellowship. Couldn't find chapels back in those days. Sometimes I'd be treated just like a family member, you know, just warm and all that. I'm thinking of one in my mind in Kansas City I went to. And then I think of another one I went to, and you'd have thought I had leprosy.
Yeah.
And I stopped and took a shower, even put on right guard for the occasion, you know, just really went all out. No.
You didn't take a shower?
I like to try them, you know. No. Actually, I would always stop, get cleaned up, put on. And in my opinion, if you get on a Western shirt, blue jeans, and boots, it don't get no better than that. Johnny Carson ain't got nothing on that. That's my opinion of being dressed up. But I've been married 40 years, and she picks my clothes out, and I put them on. So anyway, but anyway, I go walking up to the church, you know, and they just really, I didn't fit in the club. I could tell I didn't measure up. And so, you know, I thought it was sad. It hurt me a little bit, but it really made me sad. That's not God's house. Or at least they're not treating it that way. So I want you to know that there's truckers' chapels out there and other ministries doing the same thing. You've been in some of theirs, I hope. But we're here to welcome you and to fellowship with you and learn from you too. It's not a one-way thing. See, I want to listen to you too. The gentleman's brother that left was talking beforehand, and I like to hear what God's doing in your life. See, I'm going to pick your brain. I'm going to learn. So we learn to walk in love. One of the things we've got to do is learn to work together. You know, you may be Baptist, I may be Pentecostal, I may be Catholic, you may be Methodist, whatever. Who cares?
Exactly.
Who cares? I don't care.
I'm a Christian.
That's right. I'm going to ask you, are you born again? If you say yes, then that's good.
That's right.
You know, the rest of it is add-ons. The rest is options, you know. Whether you sing loud, low, whether you got drums or don't got drums, or, you know, it don't matter. It don't matter. I've been to churches where, you know, people stand up and raise their hands and praise the Lord while they sing. I've been to churches where they sit and, you know, sit all the time. That's fine. Either way. Either way. There's no righteousness in neither one. It's taste. You know, it's taste. So we one thing we've got to do is learn to walk in love. Number two, let's go back to Ephesians and read about walking in light. Walking in light. Ephesians, where were we? Ephesians 5, wasn't it?
205.
All right, back to 205. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 this time. For you were once darkness. Notice now the change. I have a problem. I live here in the South, and I can pick on the South. I used to tell people, don't knock truck drivers unless you are one. I are one. I can't. My wife said she got me out of the truck, but they hadn't got the truck out of me. I need to snort diesel smoke every now and then. But anyway, said, for you were once darkness. And what I'm going to say is, around here there's a saying that goes, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
I don't like that. I don't like that. You were a sinner. Now you're saved by grace. Does that mean you don't sin? No. Because the Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we claim to be without sin, we lie. Just that simple. But a sinner? No, I'm not a sinner anymore. In other words, there needs to have been some kind of change. I asked a pastor one time, when were you born again? A pastor of a large church. I ain't going to tell you where. And he looked at me and said, I don't remember any time in my life that anything changed. I said, boy, we got a problem. Here's the shepherd of the flock. So anyway, he says here, Paul, right to the church at Ephesus again, he said, for you were once darkness, but now you're what? Light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And if there's one thing we need in our world today is truth. Just tell the truth. You know? All right. Verse 10. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, and whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. He said here, don't fellowship with the darkness. In other words, now it doesn't mean don't witness to them. Fellowship means become one of them. That's what we're doing here today. We're becoming one in Christ to fellowship together. In other words, some people tell me they go in a bar. I've heard people say this. I go in a bar and have a beer with them so I can fellowship with them, so I can witness to them. I have a problem with that. Now, if you do that and God told you to do that, that's between you and God. That's all I can say. But to me, that'll kill your witness. That'll kill your witness. And we're not supposed to fellowship or become part of them, that is the world. Look at 1 John 1, close to the back. Was that page 251?
Yep.
Got a lot of scripture to cover, so I'm going to have to hurry a little bit. 1 John 1, and verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. Now remember, we're learning to walk in light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. None. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we will have fellowship. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, he's saying here, that if we're walking in the light, we most definitely will have fellowship with one another. No matter what you, as the little boy said, what abomination you're in, you know, what denomination you're part of is great, but that's not, shouldn't be the focus. In Matthew 5:14 through 16, he said, let your light shine. Let your light shine. Let's look at that. Matthew 5. Got time to turn over there real quick. Page what? I like this because it's a real strong verse here. Matthew 5:14 said, you are the light of the world. Who's he talking to? It's Jesus talking. Who's he talking to? Us. That's right. Born again Christian. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Notice this now. They may see your good works and glorify who?
Father.
Your Father in heaven. In other words, they start patting you on the back, you pass it on to God. And a pat on the back don't hurt nothing, okay? As long as you don't absorb it. If you start thinking for a minute that you actually did something, you're wrong. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit that brings us together. Just like y'all were talking earlier, no coincidence. Mm-hmm. We're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. And God got a plan. He tells us to let our light shine before men. Now, how are we going to do that? Many ways. Hand out a tract. Talk to people in truck stops, on loading docks, receiving docks. You know, my last job I had was a fantastic job. I won't go into that, but he was extremely good to us employees. He told me, he said, I didn't hire you to load trucks. I hired you to drive it. Don't want you in the trailer. Said, break my heart, you know, that's just, make me pout because I can't unload it. What I would do though is I'd be sitting at the dock, and a lot of times the Lord would either sleep or the Lord would tell me to walk down the dock. So I just go walking down the dock. You're there unloading your truck. So I just start helping you. Now I never had anybody say, don't do that. I never had that happen. So what would happen is we're stacking freight, and I'm telling you about Jesus. See? And I'm telling you more about what I'm doing than what I'm saying. A lot of times they say, well, I can't afford to pay it. I don't want any pay. I'm getting paid to sit here. My boss pays me to sit here. So I'm here. The Lord's told me to come and help you. Who told you? You know, well, the Lord leads us. We might say something told me. We were impressed to do it. Whatever term you want to use, the bottom line is the Holy Spirit said go do it. And that's what happened. Holy Spirit told you to come in here today. That's how you got here. Did you know that? God spoke to you, and you came. That's exactly how it happened. And that's exactly about how loud he'll ever be. Still small voice, the Bible talks about. We learn to walk in light. We learn to let our light shine. Back to Ephesians now. Back to 205 for the last part. Walking in wisdom. Boy, do we need that, huh? Ephesians 5, we're down to verse
15,
thank you. Pretty bad, and I can't follow my own note, ain't it?
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, we're
that's right. Thank you, because my wife's not feeling well. She would keep me straight, but Lord knows she tries. However, walking in wisdom, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Folks, if we ever needed to do this, it's now. I'm not a doomsday prophet. I don't know when the time's going to be over. I don't know when the end of time is coming, and no other human being on earth knows that.
But
we're so close. If you read some of the prophetic words in the Old Testament, read Revelation and different books, and read the Atlanta paper, or watch the news, you'll see it's coming together. They're messing around with Israel, and you don't mess with Israel.
Amen.
If there's one thing ain't going to happen, they better quit messing with Israel or we'll be going home. Because that's God, the apple of his eye, the Bible calls it. That's his. And you just don't do that. So the more I read the news or see the news, the more excited I get. You see, I can't wait to see Jesus myself. Now, I could by walking out on I-75 and stand still. That's not what I had in mind.
Roadkill.
Become roadkill, that's right. But see, when the rapture takes place, we're all going at one time.
Amen.
Then my family will be with me. Those that are born again will be with me. And that's so I'm looking forward to that. He says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Therefore, verse 5:17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not, listen, let me say something about the will of the Lord. Again, in ignorance, a lot of people will say, what's that old case of Ross sirrah, whatever will be. No. The Lord's will always be done. No, it's not. If the Lord's will was always done, everybody be born again right now. It's not going to be because he give us choices. I don't do God's will all the time because it gives me choices. Neither do you, so don't look at me like that. We don't hit it every time, do we? We're not perfect. Jesus was perfect. However, not being perfect doesn't give us a license to steal either. Think about it. You know, I have a lot of people say, well, nobody's perfect. Well, that sounds good. That's in the Bible, but taken out of context. He also said, strive towards perfection. Work towards it. Even though we're not going to get there on this earth, he still expects us to improve, to grow up. And I want to show you that in just a minute. As verse 18 says, do not be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled with what? The Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks sometimes for some of the stuff. Is that what that says?
That's what you said. That's not what's written.
No, that didn't say that. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wow. Giving thanks always. That's tough. For me, that's tough. But I know that it's going to work out for my good because Romans 8:28 says so. All things work together for good to them that love God or called according to his purpose. You know, that's me because I'm a born-again Christian, not because I'm perfect. All right, let's look at this now. 1 Corinthians 3. Excuse me, my voice is not doing too well this morning. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. And I wrote a little side note on your outline there. It seems like the world's thinking is backwards of God. Well, it always is, actually. Don't just seem like it, it always is. My flesh is backwards to God. Your flesh works backwards to your spirit. In other words, that conflict will always be there. And it said, the world's idea is this, is get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. God's idea says give it away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, buddy, I come from an extremely stingy background. I hate to tell you, but must be honest, I was stingy. A guy run double with me in my truck for a while. He said, you can squeeze a penny till Abraham cries tears in your pocket. He wasn't owner-operator, though. I was. I was trying to pay the bill. But the other side of that is not giving God his part. And that don't mean just money, folks. We reap exactly what we sow, so therefore whatever I want to get back, I better be sowing that. Like joy, peace, happiness, right? All of that comes under that. 1 Corinthians 3, 6. Starting in verse what? 6? 1 Corinthians 2, 6. I got the wrong one. I'm sorry. No wonder it didn't look right. Verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm still wrong. It's 3. I'm getting two together here. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. You know what? That's the misprint. It's supposed to be 2. I'm sorry. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's a misprint on your deal there. 1 Corinthians 2:6 says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. In other words, the mature here, the King James Version uses the word perfect a lot. Well, the word better translated mature. Now, let me explain. The Bible hadn't changed. The English language has changed. In other words, for instance, if I said this podium was perfect, you'd look at it real quick and say, no, it's not. It's got blemishes in it, right? Because it was man-made. In 1611, when the King James was first translated, the word perfect didn't mean flawless. Okay? That's the best I can tell you. I'll give you a little English lesson. Now, we think of perfect as flawless, right? For instance, it said Job was a perfect man. We know that can't be, right? If you look at it and research those words, I'm a dissector. I want to know what that word really means. You know, in the original language. I want to go back to there and find out what they were saying. So he said here, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, in other words, can receive it, not the wisdom of this age. The wisdom of this age is foolishness to Christ, okay? It don't work. Verse 9 said, but it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. My question is, do you love him today? If you're born again, you love him. He has got all kind of goodies waiting in line for you. That does not mean the money is going to pour in. I'm not saying that. He'll give you exactly what you need.
Amen.
You see, I don't need millions of dollars. Because if I had $1 million, then I'd have spent all that time managing it. The way it is, he just issues me a little here and a little there, and then I don't have to worry about it. Do I have enough? I always have enough, somehow. This ministry's operated that way for 25 years. Now, don't get me wrong. I'd rather have a little cushion. I'd rather have a few thousand dollars or something stuck back somewhere. But then, on the other hand, who needs it? Who needs it? God's promised to supply, right? Is any owner operators in here? Anybody own their own truck? There you go. You know, and sometimes, come on in. Sometimes they get right down to the wire before the provision's there. But he always provides. I could tell you some stories, I won't take up your time, about God providing for this ministry all these years. Turn to Colossians chapter 2 with me. Colossians chapter 2. He always provides. So we got to learn to walk in his wisdom, knowing now that our smart won't never line up with his smart. Guess who's the smartest? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. Colossians 2 and 6. We got to learn to walk in this wisdom. The wisdom of God. Walk in the Word. Do what the Word says. And then God is responsible for making it happen. I used to tell my children, if I tell you to build a fire in the middle of the living room floor, you just build it. Don't challenge me. I know what I'm talking about, okay? Isn't that right? In other words, if I tell you to do something, just go do it. I'm responsible for the outcomes, what I tell them.
Yeah.
I'm responsible. If I tell you to do it, I'm responsible. God has told us what to do, and he's responsible. And our flesh would look at the Word of God, I don't know about yours, but mine does, look at some of it and say, I don't know about that. But he's responsible for the outcome. If he tells you to walk across I-75 at a real slow pace, nobody's going to hit you. If he said that. I don't envision him doing that, you know. And I might,
Are you sure you want to?
The fisherman says he's an owner-operator. He said, if God told me that, I'd ask him for a second ID, you know, just to make sure it was God. I don't envision that, but something that far out, though, if he said it, you're covered. You're covered. What did he say here? In verse 6 of Colossians 2, he says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus as Lord, in other words, you're born again, so walk in him. How? Verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Come on in. Verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of this world. Now, not according to Christ. There's a lot of garbage out there, folks. There's a lot of garbage in the name of religion. And you are exposed to it every day. You are exposed to it. You really, really, really need to get in the Word of God and study it and know what it says so you know where I'm telling you the truth or not. There's men and women out there teaching the Word of God, and I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, but they're out there. And they have what you call charisma. In other words, you listen to them. They just have a natural, you know, people follow them. You know what I'm saying? But they're following them straight to hell because they're not teaching the Word of God.
Jehovah's Witnesses
warn. Well, there's a lot of people out there. We don't even have to name names, but they're out there with false religion.
Yeah.
And some of them are in your denominational churches.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah. I'm
telling you. It's no longer safe just because it's a Southern Baptist church. It's no longer safe just because it says United Methodist on it. It's no longer safe just because it says Pentecostal on it. You need to, listen, if you're a member of a church, you need to find out what they believe, what they teach, because you're not there very much.
Right.
See, you're not there very much, but maybe your family is, see, and you need to know what's going on. Before we join the church we're in, I had lunch with the pastor twice and talked to him numerous times. But we sit down one-on-one over lunch. That's a good way to get a preacher's attention, buying lunch, you know.
Yeah.
He'll follow you anywhere, you know. I are one, you know. But we would sit down and I would ask him stuff off the cuff, you know, about the church and where do you see it going in this area, that area, and so on and so forth. Because if I put my money there, okay, I don't need to plant in fertile soil. And if God's not in it, it's not fertile, and your seed will die in the ground and rot. Okay? So be sure of that. He says here, Paul writes here to the church at Colossae, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. Cheat you. Cheat you out of what? Blessing. Blessing. I was told that heaven and hell were not forever. What part of eternal did you miss? The Bible says it's eternal, forever, endless. The dictionary says that eternal means endlessly. Okay? Another group told me you don't need to repent of your sins to be saved. Yet Jesus said in Luke, unless you repent, you shall perish. Simple as that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I hate to tell you what church I heard that in. It's a denominational church that you would trust. But now that denomination is not saying it. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
That person said it. Joe Hunter said this, not the Southern Baptist Convention or not the United Methodist. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying. But you need to know whether I'm telling you the truth or not and study it out in the Bible. Okay, so we need to learn to walk in wisdom. And men, let me tell you, turn to James chapter 1. What to do if you don't have wisdom or don't know how to get it? It's real easy. Men, may I address you for a minute? We are the spiritual head of our home. That don't mean we're a chauvinist. That means that I am responsible spiritually to God for everything that goes on in my home. It don't matter where it's my wife, my children, my grandchildren, or my guests. I'm responsible for everything that goes on in that home over there. God holds me accountable, and he holds you, men. Even though you're not there much, you're still the spiritual leader of the home. I've had men say, well, my wife won't follow me. Well, it's hard to follow a parked car. Hello? In other words, if we're not walking in the Word, what can she follow? What can anybody follow, right? But I'm saying that we're responsible. James here, in James chapter 1, verse 2, or verse 5, rather. Start verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, I don't know if I've grown that far or not. When I can't wait for another crisis. I've heard people say that. He said, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But let patience have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, where should he get it? Somebody tell me, read it there. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. But, verse 6, everybody say but.
But.
You know, that's a terrible word in our language. But, you know. I love you, but. One preacher said there's going to be a lot of billy goat Christians in heaven. They're always saying but. You're going to but something, you know. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. When we ask God something, when we pray for something, first of all, we mentioned a while ago understanding and knowing God's will. You need to find out if what you're asking for is in his will first. And then if you know it's in his will, then you just stand on it, believe for it, and receive it by faith, and it's coming. Mm-hmm. It's coming. Now you say, well, sometimes I'm not sure. Well, when I'm not sure, when I can't be absolutely sure, my prayer is, your kingdom come, your will be done. Whatever happens, it's okay with me. It's okay, because his will is always for my good. Amen?
Amen.
It's not always what I want,
but
it's always for my good. Man, I know all of you have had times when you look back and say, thank God he didn't give me that. I've heard men say, thank God I didn't marry her after all. You know,
amen.
Thank God I didn't marry him, you know. Right? In high school, they looked so sweet, loving, and kind, and you thought, man, I spend the rest of my life with this woman or man, right? And about 30, 40 years later, you meet them and say, oh, my God. God help the poor soul that got that one. You know? So sometimes no is great. I had the same one I started with 40 years ago, so I'm very thankful for that. We met in a blind date. We met, and 3 months later, we got married. And everybody said, that ain't never going to work, you know. Well, it wouldn't have if Jesus hadn't come in. It wouldn't have, I'm sure of that. But in 1971, 5 years into our marriage, we gave our life to Christ. And we submitted our marriage to Christ, and we submitted ourselves to his lordship. Now, we said that easy. Then we had to learn to do it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Take this with you. Learn about walking in love, because it's going to take some time. Learn how to walk in light as he is the light. Walk in his word. That's what that means. Then we need to learn how to walk in wisdom. James here says, if you don't have wisdom... Far be it for me not to have wisdom. If you don't think I'm smart, just ask me. But though, seriously, every morning when I'm walking and praying, I get out and walk and pray myself. I like to walk. You know, if I'm at a truck stop, I get out and walk around the parking lot, depending on how big it is, 2 or 3 times or something while I'm praying. And one of the things I say is, Lord, give me wisdom for today. You know what today's going to hold. I don't. I got plans. I got goals. I got this. But I really don't know what today holds. I don't know who I'm going to meet today. But give me wisdom as to how to handle the situation. We had a person come into this chapel the other day, had multiple personalities. Yes. One talked to me for a while, and the other one talked to me for a while, and the other one talked to us for a while. There was at least three. Oh, yeah. And buddy, you start praying fast then.
Amen.
That ain't no time for a King James fancy prayer. You say, oh, God, help me. I'm over my head, Fred, you know.
Amen.
But he always does. He always comes through. Amen. And again, do you think it was an accident that that happened? No. Although sometimes I think, are you sure you know what you're doing? How did I get into this, you know? But no, seriously, there's a reason for that. And he knows you can handle it or he wouldn't put you there. You are the light of the world, didn't it say? And let's narrow that down. You might be the light of Atlanta South 75 truck stop for today. You may be the one that God sent to this truck stop or another truck stop or whatever to light up the place with his love. Many, many times you and I have walked up on a receiving dock and got called everything but a truck driver. We don't know what the person just left called them. Right? Perhaps it's my time, and listen, my flesh don't like this at all. And no man likes the word humble. Humble. Submit. Men, I know that. I don't know about these ladies in here, but I know what the male side says. Are you crazy? I ain't going to do that. First of all, don't tell him you're going to take it back because he knows you're not. I've used that a lot of times. What I try to do is go in with the attitude, Lord, let me be a shining light of your love to this person who's probably having a bad day. And he can do that. I won't bore you with illustration, but he can do that. If you lack wisdom, don't know what you're going to say, just simply ask God. And he'll give it to you. How do you do that? Lord, I need help. Amen. Your prayer time is simply talking to your Father. And he likes it real personal. Listen, I'm a South Georgia hillbilly. We don't do them big King James words. And I'm not knocking the King James Bible. Please understand. I'm gonna get some result. I'm gonna get some feedback from this tape. I can tell you already. But seriously, though, that's not Joe Hunter. I'm always amused in church when you call on a hillbilly to pray, and they start out talking old English. You know, "Oh Lordeth, thou didst knoweth." Give me a break, Fred. You're not gonna talk that way tomorrow, right? Monday morning, you talk to the same guy. My prayer is, Lord, you know, just talk. Lord, you know I'm not an intelligent person. You know all about me. I'm not going to try to fool you. I'm not going to try to impress you because you know who I am. You know my failures. You know my faults. And you love me anyway. And Lord, I don't understand that, but I receive that. Something like that. That's some of my prayer every day. Lord, I don't understand why you could love me, but I'm just glad you do. And all of my faults, and all of my shortcomings, and all of yours, God loves you. If you're not born again today, first, the starting point, or turning around point, first, we need to realize that we're a sinner in need of a Savior. Turn to page 251. I do want you to read this with me. 1 John 1 and 9, and I'll leave the rest of that for you to read later. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Very, very simple. You there? I want you to see it. It says simply this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It don't matter what you've done or not done. No matter how many times you fail, he says here, if we confess it, he'll forgive us and save us. And then in Hebrews 8:12, won't you look at that later, but he says, I will remember your sins no more. He literally forgets you ever sinned. Isn't that awesome? But now you got to confess it for him to do that, because otherwise he would be forcing you, and he's not going to do that. It's your choice. It's your choice. If you don't go to heaven, it's your choice. God never sent one person to hell. Sin does that by our choice. It started in the Garden of Eden, been going on ever since. We can only speculate as to what might have happened if they hadn't done that. But we inherit sin through the bloodline from Adam. So everybody here, that's why Jesus couldn't have an earthly father, so he didn't inherit that. He was sinless. But we have sin nature to deal with. So I want to close by simply praying a prayer.